Okay, let's call this meeting of the House Finance Committee to order. Let the record indicate that it is 6:06 p.m. on Monday, April 16th, 2016. Present, we have Representative Wilson, Representative Kawasaki, Vice Chair Sadler, Representative Gaddis, Co-Chair Newman, and I'm Co-Chair Thompson. Please turn off your cell phones here in the room. Okay, on today's schedule, we're going to have public testimony on Senate Bill 138, the capital budget. Public testimony is limited to 2 minutes per person. Written testimony, if you're listening online, a written testimony on SB 138 can be submitted to lhscfin@akleg.gov. I'll repeat that. lhscfin@akleg.gov. All right, and we've been joined by Representative Guttenberg. And let me go to who is first. Our first testifier is going to be, and you're limited to 2 minutes. Please adhere to that so we can let people waiting in line to testify. First up, we have Bob Brody. He's at the Kodiak LIO. Mr. Brody, are you?
I'm here, sir. Thank you very much.
Just place yourself on the record.
How do you do? My name is Bob Brody. I'm a citizen voter of Kodiak, speaking on behalf of myself. First, I'd like to thank you guys, gentlemen and Juno, for your perseverance for the months you've been there and the hard work you're trying to do. In reference to the capital budget, I know it's very thin, but I think if you have more time to work on this, that perhaps an avenue of bonding might encompass some of the small projects around the state would help out some of the small communities. At the same time, I guess I'd like to make a comment on the overall state budget in that I think there's more work to be done. I think you need to seriously take a look at the idea of income tax this session. I think it's kind of a three-legged stool we're looking at here. And that next year, if in fact you do take it up, we will have had hundreds, if not thousands, of jobs leaving the state, foreign workers leaving the lower 48 who have escaped taxation for the last 25 or 30 years. And I think to not examine taxation as an income tax at this point just causes us to draw down more heavily on the early reserve and permanent fund, and I think that's just kicking the inevitable can down the road. But I thank you for your hard work and good luck.
Thank you, Mr. Brady.
We will go to the Anchorage LIO with Patrick Reinhart, and then we'll move over to Kenai. Mr. Reinhart.
Good evening. Patrick Reinhart from Anchorage, and I'm speaking today on behalf of the Alaska Mobility Coalition. A lot of you folks know me as the Executive Director of the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Ed. But years ago, we started the Alaska Mobility Coalition as an effort to improve transit services across the state for people with disabilities who many times request transportation services. I'm speaking to you today to support the community match funding that was in the original governor's budget. I understand the Senate took it out and that you guys have contemplated or have put it back in. I want to thank you for that, if my information is correct. This transportation match fund really supports a number of communities across the state, from Fairbanks, Anchorage, Clark Warren, Nome, Juneau, Cape, Sitka, Homer, Seward, and Soldotna, Kenai, Kodiak, Bethel, Girdwood, Galkana, Ketchikan, Alkeetna, and Wasilla. All those communities benefit from this matching program. By having this matching program, we're able to generate about over $3 million in federal transit funds that these communities utilize. And with the state investment, the local community investment, and the federal program, we're able to have viable programs that serve our the people that they serve their needs. So we thank you very much for that. And without question, without this funding, I think many of these programs and services, some of them that operate in very small budgets and are really cobbled together services by a number of different not-for-profit organizations, they would fail without support like this. So that would support the community matching program in the capital budget. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reinhart. Do we have anyone else at the Anchorage LIO at this time? Okay, we'll move to the Kenai LIO. City Manager Rich Koch.
Representative Newman, members of the Finance Committee, thank you for the opportunity to speak today. This is Rick Cook, I'm the City Manager for the City of Kenai. First, I'd like to echo the previous person to testify. Thank you for all your hard work. This is, even from a long distance, this has been draining to observe. It's hard to imagine just how draining it is to actually be there. I want to speak in favor of WorkDraft F that you have before you now. I wanted to talk specifically about a reappropriation that the City of Kenai has in the draft for approximately $1.4 million for the Kenai River Bluff stabilization project. This reappropriation does not change the scope. It simply extends the time period by which the appropriation will be available for the project. The project is about a $40 million project. Total state investment at this point is $3.175 through two different grants. Net leverage is $24 million of federal money and $12 million of local match. It's a fairly large-scale project up inside the mouth of the Kenai River to protect Old Town Kenai and the core of Kenai itself is eroding at a rate of about 3 feet a year. It's a Corps of Engineer project that we are we're the local sponsor. The final feasibility study is underway right now that pulls together 10 different studies that have been accomplished, and it's due for completion and approval by the commander of the Pacific region of the Corps is August of 2017, following which construction should start not too long after. So that, I know there was some discussion about this reappropriation at a previous meeting. I wanted to just touch on the high points and stress how important it is, and it's a very efficient project with state and local money to leverage other funding for a project to support Alaska contractors. Thank you again very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you. We'll go to OffNet. We will start with Mark Schaefer, followed by Naomi Nelson.
Hello. Members of the House Finance Committee. In the event that the Conference Committee on HB 256, Fiscal 2017 operating budget, fails to include authorization for the Department of Revenue, the commercial passenger tax collected under AS 43-52-220 to the first 7 points of call, I urge your committee to include the necessary authority as an amendment SB 138, the FY 2017 capital budget. State of Alaska collects $34.50 per passenger head tax for commercial passenger vessels transiting through state waters for at least 72 hours. AS 43-52-230B provides that the Commissioner of Revenue shall identify the first 7 ports of call that vessels subject to the tax make and the number of passengers subject to the tax and that subject to an annual appropriation by the legislature. The Commissioner shall distribute to each port of call $5 for each passenger subject to the tax. Absence to appropriation directed from the legislature to the Department of Revenue, the tax collected will not be distributed to otherwise eligible communities. Due to enactment of the state commercial passenger head tax by Alaska voters in August 2006, the legislature has consistently provided authorization to the Department of Revenue to distribute passenger tax to eligible port communities. Failure to distribute tax funds would be a departure from previous practice, causing great concern and financial harm, especially to those communities that have relied upon a share of the state head tax and have not enacted municipal passenger head taxes. At the end of the last session, the last legislature requested a legislative budget audit to undertake an audit of the commercial passenger vessel tax program. And this audit has been released. Audit Control 04-30083-16. The audit makes no findings. The program is working as intended under the statute. Commercial passenger vessel tax receipts are required to be used for the benefit of the passenger. Under the statute are restricted and cannot be used as general fund. Directed related to federal constitution and under federal law. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Schaefer. Naomi Nelson, followed by Tom Begich.
I'm online. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, thank you. My name is Naomi Nelson. I am the executive director of NAT2 Community Transit on NAFTAT in Rossola, one of the many nonprofit providers of public transportation across the state. I don't want to take up much of your valuable time today, but I do want to echo the comments of Patrick, who testified earlier. My purpose for talking with you today is to encourage you to support the $1 million allocation for public and community state match. It allows us and helps us to leverage federal funds, which if you review the first version of the Senate's capital budget, actually included all of the other projects that were leveraging federal funds except for ours. Supporting public transportation is a vital service and also provides a solid, positive economic impact on our state, our communities, and the other services provided by local government and other health and human service agencies and employment. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Naomi. Tom Begich, followed by Paul Kendall.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Tom Begich. I'm the government affairs director for the Coalition for Education Equity. It used to be known as the Citizens for Educational Advancement. For the last of children, the ones who brought the successful Casali lawsuit. I'm just commenting on two things. First, your hard work. Thank you for persevering on the budget process. And second, also in your version F, thank you for removing the letter of intent that came from the other body in the Finance Committee version. I want to stress very, very importantly to you all that the typical funding that was put into the governor's original version of the capital budget, SB 138, was the last funding acquired under the Kimberley consent decree, which followed the successful litigation of the Kimberley lawsuit. Should the letter of intent be included in a fine that came from the other body be included in the final version of SB 138, it would risk reopening this litigation and taking the path to square one. I want to very, very, very much encourage you to A, not include that intent language, and B, reconsider whether or not you could include the governor's original amount for the Kimberley School in the final version of this budget. It's critical for us to finally resolve the 16-year litigation, and I hope that you will recognize the importance of this. The governor's office, the Office of Management and Budget, the Attorney General, the Department of Education, Community Development, and us, the plaintiffs, are all in agreement on the final costs for resolving this litigation. Finally, after minimum years, it will be resolved. We hope and encourage you to take those two actions. One, not including that error intent. And second, reconsidering putting the $7.2 million back in the budget. Thank you for your time. I'm free to answer questions.
Thank you, sir. Paul Kendall.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
We're here. I can barely hear you on my cell phone. Look, I want to refer you, first of all, to the Constitution of the State of Alaska, Article 1, Section 2, Declaration of Rights, Source of Government. All political power is inherent in the people, period. All government originates with the people, is founded upon their will only, and is instituted solely for the good of the people as a whole. The gentlemen, ladies, I can't stress this enough. I'm beyond myself. I'm totally disbelief that you'd hang out in Juneau in such historical times with such magnitudes of the design that we put to Alaska. You need to give it up. You need to get out of Juneau as time is coming on. You need to put some good money up here, not into a road, but a great facility. Gather our people up. You know what you need to do. You have a $4 billion over expenditure overlay, and you need to cut the $4 billion, and you need to quit trying to maintain the status quo, which you think is some type of par excellence or something. Many of these economies, what we call trying to invest themselves up, they're construct economies, they're stimulated economies, they're not new economies. We need to get back here, we need to reestablish what our priorities are and what a community is. And I don't know how you do that out of Juneau. This is just staggering, your sense of disconnection here. So when I say that, I'm talking about this trivial little participation in some type of normal praise and increase in pay. You need to come back here and demand resignations from every statewide public employee, and then we need to restart the system. And that system's going to be based on $10, $15, or $20 an hour, flat out of the wage. I'm not paying your compensation. I'm not paying for your investment teams. I'm not paying for your divorce therapy, your child care being reimbursed for the school districts. You have to stop right now, get back here, and redesign something that you don't need to participate. You need to be hard moments, difficult moments, trending moments, red in the face moments. The young men and women need to see that difficult
moments. Thank you, Mr. Campbell. Thank you for your comments.
We'll go to William Reiner.
Yes, my name is William Reiner. I'm a resident in Anchorage, Alaska. I won't waste a lot of your time. House Bill 138, I asked for a no vote on it. I wanted to go back to the drawing board. It's over the budget. And I see a lot of easy money that can be made off of a lot of items that should have been taken care of at the senior management level. I don't think the bill is honest with the numbers that are currently there. And lightly request a no vote to the budget as it stands. I know a lot of work's been put into it by a lot of the people, and you're all working on it, and I appreciate that. Thank you. I recommend a no vote because it's capital. One of the things, capital budgets and capital projects have a tendency of losing money right out the get-go before the ink is dried. For the ink is dried on the paperwork and the documents for getting the job done, there's already a percentage of that has gone out of state. Steel is not made in this state. There's a lot of other items not made in this state. It goes right out the door before the paperwork is even signed. The permanent fund circulates throughout the state at least almost one and a half times before it goes to other economies. And the permanent fund is an investment that comes from the world, actually. So we get money in through the permanent fund that's given to Alaskans. It circulates at least 1.42, almost 1.5 times before it finds its way out of state. Capital budget, the tendency at this time, we can table stuff, come back to it later. At its very best, it's maybe 6/10, maybe 7/10 of it actually circulates into the economy. Enough to show infrastructure and development.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Seeing nobody else on the off-net, we will go to the Sitka LIO. Jerry Hope.
Yes, hi, this is Jerry Hope. Thank you for allowing me an opportunity. I am representing as a board member of the Alaska Mobility Coalition, and I understand the $1 million request for match has been replaced into the budget. I just want to say thank you. There's a lot of people that probably already spoke or sent in communications about the need, and you probably have the information before you, but in Sitka here, it's a real big deal. I know that as well because I manage the fixed route of the ride, and I see how it's a positive impact. But thank you, and I hope you have a successful, albeit perhaps a little bit of consternation through your process, but I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Hope, very much. I don't see anybody else online at this time. Is there anybody in the room that'd like to testify on the capital budget, Senate Bill 138? Seeing none at this time, we're going to take about a 10-minute recess and see if other people come online. And we will take you have to be in the queue by 7:30 in order to be allowed to testify. And anybody that's in the queue at 7:30, I don't care how many of you are, we'll stay here till we hear them all, if there are some more. So we'll be back in 10 minutes. Brief at ease. Okay, we're back on the record. We have nobody else online, and we have anybody in the room? There's nobody in the room to testify, so we will take another 15-minute break and come back and see if we have anybody in the queue ready to testify on Senate Bill 138. With that, brief at ease. Okay, House Finance is back in session, and Senate Bill 138, Capital Budget. We have one more person that's called in on off-net, Kyan Reeve.
Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, yeah, place yourself on the record, and whether your testimony, you have 2 minutes.
Thank you very much, Jim. My name is Kyan Reeve. I'm the transit director down here in Ketchikan, Alaska, and I'm just wanting to speak in support of and hope that the $1 million will remain in the budget for the state's match program for transit. I just want to mention that it's a real big deal for agencies all across the state providing services for obviously millions of rides every year. Down here in Ketchikan, every year we've used the money that we get in that program to match federal grants. Typically, it's either a 10 or 20% local match, and in years past, we've received about $100,000 from that program and brought in $1 million in money. This year, our intent was to purchase a bus. With that, we anticipated about $70,000 coming to Ketchikan. We would have used that to acquire about a $400,000 bus. So I just want to make the point that any dollar that the state is able to leave in that program typically leverages several dollars. So thank you so much for your time, and I sure hope that you find a way to keep it in. Thanks for all your work.
Thank you, Mr. Reeve.
Very much for your testimony. And with that, we have nobody else online at this time and nobody else in the room. Just as a reminder to everybody, if you're listening, you can submit your testimony on Senate Bill 138 to lhscfin@akleg.gov. I'll repeat that. Submit your testimony online at lhscfin@akleg.gov. And with that, we have nobody else in the room and nobody else online, so we'll be back at 7:20 to see if we have anybody else. Anybody that's in the queue by 7:30 will be heard, and if there's nobody in the queue at 7:30, we will be adjourning. So, we're at ease. Okay, House Finance is back on the record. We're addressing Senate Bill 138, the capital budget. We're having public testimony, and we have a person calling in off-net for public testimony, Mr. George Smallwood in Homer.
Mr. Smallwood, are you there?
I'm calling
you. Yeah, place yourself on the record, and we'll have your testimony, and you have 2 minutes.
Okay, do you want my name and everything?
Just state your name for the record so the secretary has it.
Okay, my name is George Smallwood. I'm calling in reference to the funding for the LIO building. And what I'm recommending, instead of you buying new buildings or leasing new buildings, the Atwood building, which is owned by the state, versus spending all the money on buying a new building. With the shortages in state funds, I think that's the best option.
Is that all, Mrs. Smallwood?
That's all.
I sure appreciate your comments, sir. Thank you very much for calling in at this
late hour, and we appreciate your testimony. Thank you very much. Okay, we said we would be online until at least 7:30. We have nobody else online. We don't have anybody else in the room. So we will come back at 7:30 and see if we have anybody else. And brief recess. House Finance is back on the record. We're addressing Senate Bill 138, the capital budget. We're having public testimony, and we have at the Anchorage LIO, we have Chris Terletz or Terletes. Chris, are you there?
Yes, good evening. Thank you for the opportunity to testify before you this evening. My name is Chris Ternitis. I live in the Bayshore area of Anchorage. I'm a retired Army Engineer Officer and now work for the University of Alaska Anchorage. I'm testifying before you today to ask for your support for the $10 million in deferred maintenance funding for the university as requested in the governor's budget. The steady flow of deferred maintenance funds allows us to plan, design, and accomplish work that renews the life of our campus facilities. This funding helps us replace roofs, boilers, recondition elevators, replace fire alarm systems, heating and cooling equipment, modernize motors, controls, replace lighting, work on building envelopes, siding windows, doors, repair, replace water lines, drain systems, sewer lines, fix roads, curbs, and sidewalks to heavily reliant on this fund. The accumulated deferred maintenance for the university is over $1 billion. The $10 million in deferred maintenance funding in FY17 helps us sustain two failed or about to fail building systems. This funding helps keep the campuses safe and comfortable for our students, staff, and faculty, and enables us to plan, design, and accomplish the building system and the deferred maintenance and the new requirements. Investment in deferred maintenance ultimately helps reduce our operating costs. We're putting in higher efficiency, improved motors, pumps, lights, improving insulation and roofs and walls, new windows, things of that nature. All that contributes to lower energy costs. Investment in the university's deferred maintenance keeps us moving forward and helps stave off the ever-increasing deferred maintenance backlog. I also ask you to support some funding towards the UAF engineering building. The university has asked for $38.4 million, which is the balance of funding in the receipt authority for completing a building at Fairbanks. It's now shelled out, but it needs the internal parts and pieces to make it a usable facility. Investment in universities, investment in the state's future. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. Thank you for your service.
Thank you very much, Chris. We appreciate your calling
in and appreciate your testimony. Thank you. Okay, it is now 7:31 p.m., and we had it that we would take anybody that was in the queue by 7:30, and seeing that we have no more online, is there anybody in the room? There's nobody in the room wishing to testify. And so with that, public testimony is over. Now, we are going to have tomorrow's House Finance meeting is scheduled for 10 a.m., and we will be taking up amendments on Senate Bill 138. Amendments are due into my office by 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, and we'll see if we can get through all of those and move forward. And with that, I recess this meeting to the call of the chair.